I got a walk, got the chalk, about to draw outlines for these ladies, I'm about to slay. Got my cape on with some napalm, shots of days gone, then the game's on. What you play, huh? Hard to get, I'll be wet for all that dry hate. Looking my way while your eyes say you and I may get off like a right lane, but I might strain, pull up lane with a migraine. I'm a wrench to that ratchet bitch, a bench for the acid offense with a ladder, get up, phony. I said a wrench to that ratchet bitch, a bench for the acid offense with a ladder, get up, phony. Hello, miss, like, what's your name? Such a shame you don't drink, who's to blame? Cause I'm fine like I'm Cosby in the lobby of an AA meeting on a payday. We can make it rain even on a sunny day. What you say? You and I could run away. Meet up when you drop that molly off. Love that chick a Molotov while she's on the side, hating faded lane on the pavement, wasting all of my patience.
Come on, you gotta go.
Go ahead, put your best out. You gotta get up. I'm a bag, but I'll ask now. Come on and get up. I'm a bag, put my hands out. You gotta get up. Step, gotta make down. Motherfucker, get up. Go ahead, put your best out. You gotta get up. I'm a bag, but I'll ask now. Come on and get up. I'm a bag, put my hands out. You gotta get up. Step, gotta make down. Why don't you get up?
Yo, the Whiskey Sick Podcast coming at you live, but not when you listen to it, it won't be live. My name is Seth Gecko, aka Moody Motherfucking Hank. I'm rolling dolo again. I tried to get the homies in here. I tried to coordinate today. I was gonna finally have Chonies up in here alongside with Whiskey. It was originally supposed to go down yesterday. It was just going to be a fucking free-for-all, but shit didn't work out, and then they were going to come over today, and then things just got all messed up, so the show must go on, y'all. So here I am, I'm kicking some shit, and I got a lot of shit to kick at you today. We got a whole slew of fight talk, we got a whole lot of crazy-ish to talk about outside of fight talk. This might be a long podcast, I might be in it for the long haul. As you guys know, I'll just jump right into this shit. I've been itching. I've been dying. I wanted to do a freestyle, episode, at least for one of these, Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather press tours. As you know, they did four cities. He started in Los Angeles, then went to Toronto, then New York, and then off to England. And, started off with a bang. Shit was pretty hot. And then it turned into a fucking train wreck. But what the hell do you expect when you give two dudes a mic four different times and expect them to come up with new material? They're not comedians. They're not stand-up comedians that could come up with new fucking bits every single day. So we'll get into this shit. We'll go over the highlights. We'll go over the fucking lowlights because there were some of those too. People talking about who won this and that. Who gives a fuck? Just talking. Doesn't matter who talked better shit. Doesn't matter who wins this fight on August 26th. Now, I told you guys beforehand that this is what I was fucking waiting for. This was what we were all getting our money's worth. And we kind of did the Los Angeles press tour that kicked off last Tuesday. It was pretty good. It was pretty solid. Kind of got off to a little bit of a slow start, but he was blindsided. He had no idea what the hell he was doing. You could tell because he walked out onto the stage and he's just like twiddling his thumbs. Fondling his little wiener on stage. He's just looking around like he just was looking for the bathroom and wound up on stage. He's looking around. He's like, fuck it. I'll just pose and stand here and look awkward. And yeah, so he's out there standing on the stage with no proper introduction. And then they kind of introduce him. And then Floyd gets to come in there. And, you know, Conor later on goes and says that he was set up by Showtime. I believe it. Fuck Showtime. They on some shit. Conor got into that ass later. But so Conor comes out. You know, he's sitting there. If you watch the Dana White vlogs, video blogs that he does, you can see them talking while they're on stage. And Conor's like, yo, are you? He looks at Dana. He's like, you giving a speech? And Dana's like, I don't know. He's like, are you? And Conor's like, I don't know. I didn't write nothing. I was just going to say what up and face off with this dude. Then they call Dana White up there. He loses his shit. He about bursts a blood vessel, screaming and yelling because the atmosphere was crazy, was ridiculous. No one knew what to expect. Definitely expected some fireworks. Conor comes out, you know, takes the mic, obviously freestyling. He's like old school K Slay in the mornings. Gets this instrumental and just starts flowing. Has no direction, no nothing. Still landed on some good points, but he kind of kept it PG. He didn't really know what the tone was going to be. He just kind of went out there and was just like, well, you know, I'm gonna whoop his ass inside of four rounds. You know, the typical Conor McGregor shit. He didn't really get too outlandish. But then that motherfucker Floyd, knowing that he was going to have the upper hand on this, comes out and starts dropping little, you my little bitch, you're a little bitch this, you're a little bitch that, fuck you this, fuck you that. And might I say, this was fucking awesome because this was on Fox Sports. So this was on like regular cable, and these dudes are dropping foul ass language on regular cable, and there was no warning or anything. I thought they were just going to start bleeping this. I actually had a stream of it up because I thought it was going to be edited, and I knew it was going to be beep, 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 beep. It was going to sound like Morse code, basically. You weren't going to hear anything either one of these dudes was going to say. It would just be beeps the whole time. Sound like they were in World War II trying to send spy information back to the homeland and shit. But Floyd comes out and he basically set the tone for the whole rest of the thing, because you could see it in Connor's eyes as he's sitting there when Floyd, you know, does his first little speech. He realizes, this motherfucker, I could have said all this shit? I had no idea it was going to be like this. So right away, you know, you could see the wheels start turning, and you knew that the Toronto, the second stop, all bets were off. Homie was going to take the gloves off, and he was gonna land some shit. Of course, he comes out with the in that first press conference, though. Connor wasn't on his game because he missed some layups. Mayweather was throwing him some layups. You know, Connor came out with the predictable ish talking about the IRS and owing taxes and stuff. I would have kind of stayed away from that. You can't owe a lot of money unless you make a lot of fucking money. And that's the one thing he basically has over you, Connor, is money. He's made like $800 million, $400 million in 2015, which is why he owes taxes on it. But when Mayweather's out there yip-yapping, skip-scapping, scallywagging up there saying, I'm the IRS, I'll tax you, Connor just missed the easy layup. He should have said, spell IRS, motherfucker. Bet you can't spell it. You know? Guarantee that shit. Spell IRS, Floyd. You know, there's the layup for him. Misses that. But he comes back, you know, playing off of his can't read shit. He drops the why you carrying a school bag in Toronto. You can't even read. That was a home run. He comes out. He gets the whole crowd. The crowd in Toronto, that was the best crowd. Them fools are crazy, man. They just love MMA. They love anybody who represents it. Connor represents it to the fullest. One of the best mixed martial artists in all of the world to ever live. George St. Pierre is from Canada. Not sure. I think he's from Montreal. Either way, doesn't fucking matter. It's still Canada. But they were wild. And he comes out, has the crowd chanting, pay your taxes. Has the crowd chanting, fuck the Mayweathers. Right off the bat, Floyd looks shook. That's the one time he actually looked shook in this whole thing. He was in enemy territory. Not one single motherfucker was there for him. He was trying his same bullshit. The knock against Floyd I have is, you know, he came with some little baby shit, some little bullshit. He just repeated the same shit over and over again. Hard work, dedication, point to the easy work, all this bullshit. You could tell he really didn't prepare for shit. I don't think he knew what he was getting into in Toronto. And the only reason they went to Toronto was because Dana White insisted they go to Toronto. And Dana White knew what the fuck was up with Toronto because they do shows in Canada all the effing time. So Connor smashes that shit out of the ballpark. I think Floyd just even said, fuck it, I concede, waved the white flag and just kind of coasted through that shit and just tucked his tail between his legs and said, let's get the fuck up out of here. He was assuming he was going to have a little more support up in New York. But if you paid attention to any of Connor's fights, especially his fight UFC 205, which was in New York City, the first MMA event in New York City, the Irish travel and there's a lot of Connor support over there. The New York one is where this whole thing, it was starting to reach a boiling point. After the 1 and 2 were fucking awesome. You were getting your money's worth. It was dope. It was still, you know, it hadn't got to that raunchy, just corny ass shit yet. And Dana White warned these motherfuckers. Oh, yeah. And number two, that's where Connor got his revenge on the Showtime dude, Espinoza. Just shit all over him. Just fucking squatted over his hand, pooped in it, and just slapped the living fuck out of Espinoza. Espinoza looked like he done seen a fucking ghost. He wanted the fuck out of there. He wanted to crawl in a fucking hole. You can tell he had this little half-ass, shit-eating grin on his face, trying to play it off, but inside he's fucking boiling. He's never been talked to ever in his motherfucking life like that. And then you just got to see the level of Connor. Connor just really, truly, you know, doesn't give a fuck. There's a lot of people around here every day. One of the most overused sayings is, I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. Every time. This dude really doesn't give a fuck. Everybody else that says, I don't give a fuck, usually does give a fuck. This dude really doesn't. He's going to get paid regardless. He knows he's the fucking show. Floyd can keep on with his bullshit, A-side, B-side bullshit. Nobody's coming to see you, Duke. Everybody's coming to see Conor McGregor. You're 41 years old as of today. You turned 41. And you haven't fought in 2 years. Nobody's coming to see you, Duke. And number two, you're boring as fuck. So everybody knows that if it's going to be an exciting fight, it's going to be because of Conor McGregor. And he's just at an all-time high right now. So we go over to New York City. And this one was just a fucking shit show. Dana White's over here telling Showtime, look, motherfuckers. We've done this twice now your way. Just sitting up here handing these dudes a microphone and expect them to kick some fucking stand-up, special, Netflix special for 15, 20 minutes up here. They're out of material, man. It's already been two fucking times. What more do you want them to say? He was suggesting that they kind of do it the UFC way. Where they just field questions. They put them on each side of a table and they get a moderator and they field questions. But Showtime had their little ego. They tried to say that when the UFC does that it's all about Dana White trying to make the press conference about him because he's the one in the middle on the podium fielding the questions. Look, you could have got anybody to field the questions. It didn't have to be Dana White, but what he's suggesting is both of these guys are probably going to be better off fielding these questions and feeding off of each other and just doing snapping off of each other, you know, just like a real battle off of these questions instead of having to come up and write material and come up here and try to recite this shit and remember what the fuck he wrote down. But Showtime didn't want to roll like that. They wanted to continue with the same fucking format. So both of them. Expectedly so, try to push the envelope as far as they fucking can, and shit hit the fan, literally. These dudes come out, Connor comes out, fur, what he called a polar bear fur, chest naked, with some Miami Vice 1972 Tony Montana fucking pants and some fucking loafers with no socks, and his little aviator glasses, strolling, strutting, comes out, tries to kick some Biggie lyrics. I know it was Brooklyn, but homie, you missed another opportunity. You know what I'm going to say right now. The late, great Prodigy just died. You should have been kicking some fucking Mobb Deep. You should have come out to some Mobb Deep. You could have come out to fucking Shook Ones at least. Everybody fucking knows that. That's got to be as popular as Notorious. But people weren't feeling it, number one, because most of the people there weren't even from New York. They're from all over the place, so they weren't even giving a fuck about Biggie. But if you wanted to win the New Yorkers over, you should have come with some recent news, some Mobb Deep. And that would have definitely probably made an impact. I think this time Connor ran out of shit to say. He just started, you know, saying they were everybody was saying that he was being racist because he was saying boy, and I understand that if you're talking to a black man, you don't call him boy, you don't speak down to him like that. There's a lot of history regarding that word being used towards black people back in the day, so I understand that. But at the same time, you're making much to do about nothing. And every time he's ever spoken about anybody, whether it was Alvarez, whether it was Nate Diaz, whether it was Holloway, Dennis Seaver, he's calling them all boy. You know, it's just a word that he uses. I'll even say, fuck it, I say that shit all the time when I'm, you know, talking shit. I'll refer to somebody as a boy. You know, it's just a habit. So, but, you know, the media ran with it, tried to make it into a fucking black versus white thing. You knew that was coming one way or another. So Connor, you know, hearing those rumblings from the first one, because he was saying, dance for me, boy. you know, they tried to blow this out into big proportions. So he should have, honestly, Connor should just let it be. Fuck it. Who cares? Don't even address it. If something so stupid and so outlandish, it's not even worth acknowledging. You just move on. You don't even address it. But he chose to address it, and he says he's half black and he's black from the belly button down. Cool. Fly little line. Leave it at that. Walk away. But then, my motherfucker, I have to palm to the face real quick. Damn it. He didn't stop there. He had to go and call out all the black ladies. Them ebony young ladies. Beautiful young ladies. And he starts making some fucking motions up on stage and shit. And that's just where he kind of just... he lost it, man. I was in there cringing. I was screaming at the... at the TV, Connor, no, no. It was like slow motion. His words were like, black women. I was, no, Connor. But he did it anyways. And he was too far gone. He started getting into it. It looked like he was faded, to be honest with you. It was his birthday, I think, that day. And he looked toasted. He looked up. He looked zipped up Willie, homie. He just looked like he had been out all night, or he was in the limo on the way over there, you know, sipping, maybe smoking, maybe, you know, everything combined. He just looked out of it, man. And then I think he kind of realized everything he was saying was just falling flat, you know. It's kind of the equivalent of being a stand-up comedian and you're just bombing on stage, you know. And then the dude comes out with the huge hook and then just drags you off the fucking stage. That's kind of what Dana was doing. The look on Dana, the best part of that whole New York press conference was the look on Dana White's face. He's over there like, fuck this. This is all bad. And he's already going into damage control. What the hell am I going to say about this shit? Floyd comes out and he had to bring out the gimmicks, because I think Floyd realized he really is just not that smart. It is what it is. He's just not a smart dude. He's not a witty dude. He can't think on his feet. He's always ran over people. Everybody always says he's a good shit talker. I never thought he was a good shit talker. All he does is say the same shit over and over again. I got a lot of money. You don't. That's it. And he came out with more of that shit. He makes it rain dollar bills up on the stage and then calls for like the 15th time, I think it was, if you were keeping count. He calls Dana the pimp and Connor the hoe and make it, you know, dance or whatever. I think he was playing off of Connor's make it dance comment. So he starts doing whatever. Okay, cool. Whatever. Then he does the Form Voltron thing. That was just the corniest shit out. That, Kellogg's cornflakes, homie. That shit was just a bag of fucking cornflakes. First of all, it made you look bitch as fuck, because you had no idea who was actually in Connor. That was the first time that Connor had homies up on stage. And Dylan Danis, yo, you're lucky that dude didn't pop up and just go for some necks. And that little dude, Lobov, he just cracks fools. He's a little fella, but he throws bombs if you've ever seen him fight. He just fought Cub Swanson a couple months ago. He got pretty much worked, but he threw bombs. And this dude, they would have smoked those dudes, those big ass, like Connor called them, juice heads. They're obviously on steroids. But what came out is the first dude with the little mohawk and the shaved head on the side. I remember I recognized that dude, and the video came out after. I remember I had recognized him from a few months ago. Floyd Mayweather has this little thing at his gym where he likes to bring fighters in, and I forget the dog fight. He calls it a dog fight or something like that. And these motherfuckers just literally fight round after round after round after round until somebody quits. These things can go on for 25 rounds, 30 rounds, 40 rounds. So they put this dude, the same dude. I knew I had recognized him from somewhere. I'd watched him before. He gets in there against another boxer. They talk this fool going in. He gets knocked out. He gets dropped and his nose broken literally in 10 seconds. He gets in there with some other dude. He throws a nice little hook. I thought it was all right for as big as his arms are and how bloated those fucking things are. I didn't even think he could raise them past his fucking nipples. But he threw a decent little hook, and then he got counterhooked, and he went down. He tried to pop up real quick, but he was leaking fluids, homies. His transmission was leaking all over the motherfucking place. He's bleeding, and they had to call it. It was the shortest dogfight in Mayweather gym promotion in Mayweather gym history. So you already know that dude can't fight. Let me tell you, these dudes, these big-ass, bloated-ass dudes, they can't ever scrap. You're not built for it. You can't move. You can't lift your arms up above your head. You can't extend them, you know, to 180 degrees. They probably don't even get past 45, you know. So who knows what the fuck. These dudes, you know, get up in their face and try to push their weight around. And what does Floyd Mayweather do? He flees out the back door and just kind of runs away and lets them do his thing. He thought it made him look cool. It actually just made him look like a hoe, to be honest with you. You get your little goons out there and you just run away. It looks stupid. The whole thing was stupid. Everybody the whole time saying, it's staged. Of course it's fucking staged, man. Are you reading all these fucking Facebook comments? It's staged. Yeah, of course it's fucking staged. It's WWE. Yes, that's what it was going to be from the start. That's what this is. The format alone dictated that it was going to be that way. You're giving these dudes a fucking microphone. What do you expect them to do? They have to go and try to come up with something. So I didn't mind it too much. They go to London and wrap things up. Thank God. Once again, the best moment of that is when Connor rubs Floyd's head. And Dana White damn near has a fucking shit fit on stage. He's begging Connor, no, don't touch him. But to Floyd's credit, he just went with it. Said, fuck it, I don't care. I think Connor did that just as payback because in the previous one, Floyd came out with the Irish flag and threw it on the ground. And later Connor said, you know, we're even now, whatever. I'll let you get away with that shit. But the worst part about Floyd Mayweather, well, let's talk about his little shit talking. Homie, when you're saying some outlandish ass shit like you're going to get into the fucking no, the fuck you're not. Connor even called you out the first day. You're not going to wear 4-ounce gloves. You're not going to wear 8-ounce gloves. You're not going to ever in your motherfucking life come within 100 square miles of an octagon or anything resembling the shape of an octagon, a decagon, a fucking circlegon, a fucking squaregon, whatever the fuck, I don't know. You're not ever going to do that. We don't believe you. You need more people. So you lost mad points for that shit. You kept bringing that shit up. You sounded stupid the first time. You sounded even stupider the 10th time. Your advisor should have told you as much. You just look stupid with that shit. You know, when Connor, you know, I said it the day they announced this shit, even before that, when we've talked about this fight, before it was even announced as official, I told you, this isn't, Floyd Mayweather has never been in a real fight. Go back and listen to that shit. Connor stole my whole spiel. He's never been in a real fight. He's been in a punching contest. He's been in a lot of punching contests. Limited rules, like going to war and only being able to use pistols. Can't bring out the tanks, can't bring out the bombers, can't bring out the M16s, can't bring out the 50 cals. You just got to use pistols to go to war and try to invade a country with pistols. That's the equivalent of that shit. You're not allowed to use your full arsenal in boxing. That's just what it is. Floyd, at no time ever does he ever want to be in a real fight with Conor McGregor. It's over. And that's why Conor's in this shit. Because he knows at the end of the day, whether he gets mollywopped for 12 rounds, whether he ain't going to get KO'd, so I ain't going to go there. But if he gets boxed up for 12 rounds, he's always going to say, this isn't a real fucking fight. Let's go. Step up into the octagon now. Let's engage in a real fight. And you know Floyd is never going to do that. So shut the fuck up, Floyd. That was the most annoying shit from Floyd. Other than that, you know, I don't even dislike Floyd. I dig Floyd. He's a character. He's one-dimensional as fuck. You know which way angle he's going to come. Where Connor, I thought maybe he intentionally strayed away, but Connor never busted out the anything having to do with the domestic violence shit. And even on, I think it was the Toronto conference, Floyd made a reference that, I'm going to save some things that I know about Connor and women for the last press conference. That was a perfect opportunity for Connor to say, you don't want to go there. Floyd and women. Now, you think you want to go there, Floyd? You want to talk about women? We can get into it right now. So, Connor, I think more than anything, probably intentionally let that one be. But damn, he could have had some haymakers off that shit. So the whole thing was a circus. Of course it fucking was. That's what it was always going to fucking be. Had they stopped after the first two, I think the hype would have been, you know, great. Or if they had switched it up to after the first two to what Dana White was suggesting and just filled it some questions like they did in London at the very end. They took like 4 or 5 questions. If they had just done that the whole time, this shit would have been a fucking home run and a half. Instead, the first two were, the last two pretty much sucked. It couldn't end fast enough. But I watched every single fucking one of them. I made sure I was home sitting in front of my fucking TV, eating Cheetos, and, I wouldn't have missed it for the fucking world. Connor, you know, he established himself as one of the great shit talkers of all time. That still goes to, Muhammad Ali just for the pure fact that he wrote the fucking book on this shit. When there's a great story of who the fuck was he fighting? Muhammad Ali was fighting, somebody, and he talked so much shit that the homeboy brought a fucking gun to the press conference and threatened Muhammad Ali. Now that's when your fucking shit-talking game is Hall of Fame, untouchable, unfuckwittable levels. Never to be compromised. When you talk so much shit about a dude leading up to a boxing match, that homie brings a motherfucking gun and threatens you at the press conference. That's when you're the GOAT of this shit. And he wrote the blueprint. He laid it all out for both of these motherfuckers. In some ways, they kind of took it to different levels. Connor has definitely taken it to different levels. Floyd is just a one-trick pony with it. Money this, money that. I got more money than you. Blah, blah, blah. But thank God that shit's over with. Now we can just fucking get back to the fight now. You're lying if you're saying you still don't want to see the fight. I gotta go in on a motherfucker right now. I got this shit pulled up. There's this dude. Where you at, motherfucker? Where you at? Colin Cowherd. Colin Cowherd, you bitch you. I caught this shit. He does the show The Herd on Fox Sports 1. And I happened to tune in. I see this motherfucker talking about this shit. And first off, Colin Cowherd, if you're going to run your fucking mouth about this shit, you got to get your fucking facts straight. And I'm going to play a little bit of this for y'all. Hopefully it comes through the microphone, but I got this shit queued up. And I'm just going to attack this motherfucker point for point, because I think throughout this whole thing, people forget that sports are entertainment. It's just for an entertainment factor. That's what this fight is. You're out of your mind if you don't think you're going to be entertained for an hour while it's going on. And leading up to it, and the parties you go to, and the beers you drink, and the nachos you eat. It's like a Super Bowl. You get another Super Bowl this year. It's just another excuse to get with the homies, have them all in one place, and fucking drink and act a fool, and watch two dudes scrap out. That's what this is about. No one ever said that this was the greatest fucking boxing match of all time. It's not. It won't be. Unless Conor deads this fool, then all you motherfuckers are eating crow. Because then it'll be the craziest sporting outcome you've ever seen. The greatest, hands down, point blank, period, upset you've ever seen in your life. But let me play some of this Colin Cowherd for you, because this dude is wilding the fuck out. I got my little LaCroix sparkling water. Shout out to you motherfuckers. I love this shit. Sponsor me, man. Listen to this motherfucker right here.
Started here in Los Angeles, then it went to Toronto, beautiful city. Then it went to New York, and then yesterday it was London, and now today it's London. It's all over, right? So here's what's really something that I'm kind of surprised we're all okay with. Like, Muhammad Ali was a trash talker, but Muhammad Ali was amazing. And generally, we're okay with Michael Jordan having confidence or Larry Bird coming out to the three-point shooting contest. And remember the old story about Larry Bird? He came out for the three-point shooting contest.
Which one of y'all going to take second?
Said, all right, which one of you guys is playing for second place? But we're all okay with that as sports fans. Larry's a legend. Muhammad Ali was amazing. Michael Jordan, greatest ever. Here's what's interesting. A lot of you are betting Conor McGregor. None of the wise guys, none of the
Of course,
shows.
Why would you put money on a heavy favorite, asshole?
Conor McGregor is just a loudmouth. And not only is he going to not just lose the fight, but never win a round, He's already lost three times as a UFC fighter.
Oh, you fucked up, dog. You done fucked up. He lost three times as a UFC fighter. Colin Cowherd, you dumb fuck you. He's lost one time in the UFC. He's lost to Nate Diaz. That's it. He has three losses on his record, but those came years ago when he was still coming up the ranks in whatever fucking promotion he was fighting in Europe. One was to homie that's in the UFC now, just re-signed. Fuck, I'm forgetting his name. He got choked out in the first round. They've all been to submission, but those two were years ago before this Conor McGregor. He was a skinny little bald-headed twerp back then for two of them. And then this one that he lost most recently, his only, not third, his one and only loss in the UFC after fighting multiple world champions and beating them, was to a black belt who was fighting closer to 190 pounds and over 6 feet tall in Nate Diaz, who's a fucking monster, who's way bigger, frame, length, size, everything, than Floyd fucking Mayweather. So get your shit straight if you're going to come out like that. If you're going to try to act like you know MMA, no MMA, homeboy. And now you over here talking about you know the fucking outcome of this shit. No, the fuck you don't. You're over here saying he's not going to win a round. He's not going to do this. How the fuck do you know that? That's all hyperbole. You're over here just yip-yapping, gum flapping your fucking mouth. What about this fight wouldn't you like? You don't like underdog stories, homeboy? That's what makes this fight everything. Why do we watch the NCAA tournament? For the fucking round one upsets when a 15 beats a 2. It's fucking crazy. You're like a fucking 15 seed from some mid-major fucking school goes out and beats a UNC or a fucking Duke in the first round of the that's why you watch it. It's for those type of games. Now, it's never happened that a 16 seed has beaten a 1 seed, but it will eventually. And that'll be the greatest story in the history of the NCAA tournament. And that's why you watch it, for the possibility of seeing something amazing happen. That's what sports are all about. Seeing an underdog come through and win. Everybody can relate to the underdog. And the possibility every time of that just maybe this time is that time that we see the biggest upset in history. You telling me you didn't like the greatest movie, one of the greatest movies of all time, one of the greatest franchises of all time, Rocky Balboa? Let me tell you something, homeboy. Apollo Creed was 49-0. Yep. 49-0. Just like a motherfucker named Floyd Mayweather. 49-0 when he lost to Rocky Balboa, which was built on the underdog, the greatest underdog story ever told. You telling me you don't like that shit? You don't root for the fucking underdog? Because that's what this is about. This is a possibility of seeing something that you couldn't imagine happening. And that's what makes it exciting. But you're over here with your little bullshit, he's not going to win a round like you've already seen the fucking fight. First of all, you don't know a goddamn thing about MMA. You only talk about it because your fucking producers make you, because you're on Fox Sports 1 where they actually show live UFC events. You're acting like you're fucking in Quantum Leap or some shit. You're a fucking time traveler. You've already been there and seen this fight somehow. And you're reporting from the future. You've come back and you're telling us exactly how it went down. Shut the fuck up, homie. Continue on with your bullshit now.
So he's not even dominating, I mean truly dominating, as a UFC fighter.
He's not dominating as a UFC fighter. He lost one fight in the UFC. He's the first fucking guy in the toughest sport in the world to win two world titles concurrently, which means at the same time, motherfucker. In one of the toughest weight division in the UFC is the 155-pound. It's the deepest. It's the division that has the most fighters signed to in the UFC is the 155-pound division champ. And he's the fucking current champ at that shit. And I don't give a fuck about what you say about the 145-pound champ. Love you, Max Holloway. You are the champ right now, but only because Conor McGregor relinquished that after he won his second belt. So he's the first to ever hold two belts at the same time. In the toughest sport of all time. It certainly isn't fucking boxing. Boxing isn't the toughest fucking sport. You're just punching. There's no kicking. There's no knees. There's no grappling. There's no wrestling. There's no clinch work. As a matter of fact, when as soon as you clinch, a fucking ref comes in and breaks it up in boxing. There's none of that. So you're saying he hasn't even dominated the UFC? He's done something that nobody since 1933, the inception of the UFC, has ever done. Nobody even had the fucking courage to do. BJ Penn tried to. He's won two in two divisions, but not at the same fucking time. Dan Henderson had two belts at the same time, but that was in Pride, not the UFC. He came to the UFC and he could never win a belt. So the fuck you talking about he hasn't dominated? He's never dominated in the UFC. He's the most dominating fighter in the UFC, really. You can say Demetrius Johnson, but that dude's fighting chumps every fucking day. Every time out. He gets a real fight. He gets a real challenger in TJ Dillashaw, and he doesn't want no part of it. Because he knows if he fights TJ Dillashaw, there's a good chance he doesn't win his 11th straight to set the title. You can say John Bones Jones, but he's fought one time in like four fucking years. He's undefeated. I'll give him that. But he ain't fighting. Conor McGregor was fighting three, four times a year. Steadily taking on the biggest fucking fighters, the best matches he can take. You remember when John Jones had the, I think it was Cormier that dropped the original fight. And Chael Sonnen said, I'll step in. I'll take this on short notice. John Jones didn't take that fight. You remember that shit? He said, no. I haven't had time to prepare for that. He doesn't do... Name a time that Conor McGregor... I can name three times that fighters have dropped their fights just within 10 days of the fight. And Conor McGregor accepted the challenge of anybody who picked up that fight. When he says anybody at any time, he's been bout it, homie.
Now he's a con man selling you pay-per-views. And you may not like Floyd...
So what the fuck's Floyd Mayweather doing? A con man? How's Conor McGregor a con man when he's fighting the best available and you have your boy Floyd Mayweather fighting Andre Berto, Robert Guerrero? You remember that Robert Guerrero fight? Oh, by the way, Robert Guerrero last night got knocked out in the second round by Omar Figueroa. In the second round, he got dropped three times in the first round. He got finished by Omar Figueroa in the second round, and he went the distance against Floyd Mayweather. He didn't win a single fucking round. He landed maybe 15 punches the whole fucking time. You're telling me that is a better fight than this? You're telling me that that's not an embarrassment to fucking boxing? Look at all the bullshit fights Floyd Mayweather has taken over the years. You motherfuckers didn't even remember that he fought Robert Guerrero. He fought Maidana and almost fucked himself because he only took that fight because he thought that was an easy win. And he took it the second time because he had it figured out.
And I don't like a lot of things in his past, but he's actually been somewhat demure and more tasteful than Conor McGregor.
What? If you go to the fuck are you talking about? He's bringing strippers out there, man.
This morning, it's Floyd minus 700. Now, it opened at like Floyd minus 2250, meaning you'd have to bet basically $2,200 to win a nickel. But it's been bet down by rubes and like common bettors. Wise guys, sharps, they're all on Mayweather, and you should be. But Mike...
Let me explain this, betting, homeboy. Because I almost put some money on Floyd a couple weeks ago when I was in Vegas. On Conor when I was in Vegas. Why the fuck wouldn't you? Why would you put any money? It's the only bet to fucking make. Of course people are going to bet it down. Because if you want to bet on that fight, the only way you can possibly make money on that fight is to bet on Conor McGregor and hope for the upset. You just said it yourself. There's no reason to fucking put money on Floyd Mayweather. So of course, what's all the action going to do? It's going to go to Conor, you dumb fuck you.
700. Now, think about this. Basically, this would be, and we looked it up this morning, this would be the 150th ranked player on the tennis tour trash-talking Roger Federer at Wimbledon.
No, it's not. You know why? Because the 150th ranked player in tennis isn't a fucking world champion in a tougher discipline, motherfucker. He isn't a double, dual, concurrent champion in anything else. These are combat sports. They're two combat sports, and Conor McGregor reigns supreme in two weight classes that's never been done in a tougher sport than what Floyd Mayweather is fighting in. You asshole, you. That's why people are interested in this shit. I said it last time. This is like if you could watch fucking Van Damme versus Chuck Norris. Or Chuck Norris in real life versus Bruce Lee. You'd want to see that shit. They're not, their disciplines aren't the same. They have different disciplines, but you want to see which one reigns supreme. Does Conor McGregor's mixed martial arts period training, can it reign supreme over a classically trained boxer? That's what this is all about. It's not the 150th ranked tennis player. Fuck's wrong with you, man?
This would be Coastal Carolina trash-talking Kentucky. I went and looked this morning at the odds of some football games. Kent State plays Clemson this year. Kent State is a 38-point underdog. This would be Kent State talking trash at the 50-yard line to Clemson before kickoff. UTEP is a 44-point dog against Oklahoma. This would be UTEP going into Norman, Oklahoma, because remember, Mayweather is fighting in a boxing ring. It's home ring advantage. What would we do in sports?
It's not home ring advantage. Let me explain something to you, homeboy. You think Conor McGregor doesn't train every single day in a fucking boxing ring? I trained Muay Thai for many years. We train, and I did MMA. I was in cages. I was in everywhere I went. Most of these places have rings. You train in rings, and the atmosphere definitely isn't going to be home ring advantage for Floyd Mayweather. Sure as fuck ain't going to be. The atmosphere isn't going to be a home field advantage for him. The atmosphere is going to be 98% Conor McGregor. The atmosphere is going to help fuel Conor McGregor. It's sure as fuck not going to be on Floyd's side.
Coastal Carolina went into Lexington and talked trash and got beat by 40.
So what? They play football.
We call them buffoons. What would we do if UTEP or Kent State went in Warriors and you're okay and the one seed is playing at home? That's Kentucky playing Coastal Carolina.
He gets on to this point.
Right now, a loudmouth con man selling pay-per-views. And he is the most vulgar and...
Con man trying to sell pay-per-views. What do you want him to do? Do you want him to go up there and stand there with his hands in his back pockets whistling a fucking tune for you? The fuck do you want him to do? Of course he's going to go up there and try to sell pay-per-views. It's money in his fucking pocket. And guess what? People want to see it. People can decide for themselves if they want to pay the money. And you talking all this trash, I guarantee, I promise my left nut, you watch the fucking fight. After all this, I promise you, Colin Cowherd, you watch the fucking fight. For the exact reason that I mentioned earlier, the small chance of witnessing something amazing, something great, something that sports is built off of. The whole entire spirit of sports, of the whole spirit of competition. The underdog accomplishing the impossible, showing you in real life that anything is possible. That's what sports is about. I wanted to get on to this motherfucker. He goes on to talk about... So what? If you would laugh at him. You want Conor to go out there and suck his dick for him? Give him a little tug job? Wank him off real quick? What do you expect him to go out there and do? Kiss his ass? Rim job his ass? I saw some shit earlier too. from this motherfucker talking about Connor's not used to using boxing gloves. You dumbass, you. I've already gotten to this, too. Listen, you don't practice with MMA gloves other than grappling. That's it. When you're hitting pads, when you're hitting the heavy bag, you ain't wearing fucking 4-ounce MMA gloves. You're going to bust your hands up. You'll never make it to fucking fight night. What do you think they're wearing when they hit pads? Go watch these countdown to UFCs. You see these motherfuckers wearing little ass fucking MMA gloves when they're hitting pads and hitting the bags? And sparring, they're wearing boxing gloves, you asshole, you. And if you go back a couple years ago, there was a sports science. It was with Boss Rutten. It was something like a sports science. It was with Boss Rutten. Look this shit up. Google this fucking shit. They measured the pounds per square inch for a bare-fisted punch, a 10-ounce glove punch, and a 4-ounce MMA glove punch. The heaviest punch, 750 PSI square inch pounds per pressure square inch shit, was the bare knuckle. That delivered the most amount of force from Boss Rutten when he hit the heavy bag. When he used the 10-ounce boxing glove, he hit 640 pounds per square inch. And when he used the MMA glove, it was 650 pounds per square inch. A 10 cutting, splitting cunt hairs difference in the amount of pressure. There's no difference. The only difference is an advantage for Conor McGregor having more square, more surface area to block punches with. More defense. When he covers up, he can cover more of his head with boxing gloves. There's more surface area. He's using boxing gloves every single day of his life since he even started boxing. So shut the fuck up, Colin Cowherd. Shut the fuck up. Just shut the fuck up. Just shut the fuck up. Method Man voice. I'm sorry. I had to go in on this shit. This dude was making me lose my fucking mind. Let me save this shit real quick. All right, I'm back. So there were some more fights this weekend. Gunnar Nelson. Actually, there were. This is some more bullshit. People are just looking for reasons to hate on your boy Conor McGregor. Yeah, you can call me a mark. I'm not even so much of a mark for Conor McGregor. I'm more of a mark just for mixed martial arts because it takes way more dexterity, way more cardio, way more mental strength, way more everything than boxing. Conor had two guys who have loosely associated with his team that fought on this past Sunday's. Was it Sunday? Yeah, it was yesterday. Fight night. Gunnar Nelson and this other big dude who got fucking thrown on his head. He didn't get slammed. This motherfucker, you guys gotta look this shit up. I have this shit on video. What was this fucking guy's name? Hold on 1 second. Okay, here we go. This dude named Galor Bafondo. That's his name. Galor Bafondo. This jacked dude. He fought a guy that trains in Conor McGregor's camp, Charlie Ward. He fights out of SBG out there in Ireland. And this dude, if you haven't seen this shit, go Google this fucking fight. Because this fool, this dude, Bofondo, took this dude. Look at this shit.
Oh, shit. He just knocked this fool out by throwing him on his fucking head.
That's me watching that shit fucking live. Basically, a homie tosses this dude like a hoe in a Motel 6 mattress. He just tosses this dude like he fucking owed him money or some shit. He just throws him, and the guy just literally can't get his hands out in time, and he just lands on his fucking head, and he's KO'd. And then in the main event, Gunnar Nelson gets absolutely obliterated. Homie, Gunnar, Mr. Gunny, keeping your hands at your waist, moving in straight lines forward and backward without any head movement is a recipe for disaster. You just got your ass knocked out by a 14th ranked dude, and you were number 8, so where does that put you now? I don't fucking know. But the point of all this is since Conor McGregor's teammates start losing, everybody starts talking shit about Conor. Like, somehow losing his homies losing their fights is some kind of indication of how Conor McGregor's gonna do against Floyd Mayweather. Like, if your homie gets caught sucking dicks, it makes you gay too somehow. You know, your homie's roofing chicks in hotels, that makes you a rapist. Your homie gets caught with child porn. Now you're a chomo too. So whatever your homies do, you're responsible for it too. Shut the fuck up. You motherfuckers are trying way too hard to shit on Conor McGregor when you start talking shit about him because his homies are losing fights. He can't go out there and fight those fools for him. They got to go out there and do it for themselves. They don't have nearly the same skill set as Conor McGregor, the same mentality, the same anything as Conor McGregor. Gunnar Nelson gets knocked the fuck out and immediately starts saying, oh, I got my eyes poked and I couldn't see. And yeah, you took a little bit of an eye poke, but if you got poked in the eye, you didn't stop. You didn't call for a timeout like every other dude does. I don't know when this start became, when there became timeouts in MMA, but every time you see somebody get an eye poke, they call a timeout and the ref stops it and, you know, gives them 5 minutes to recover. Well, when Gunnar Nelson got poked in the eye, he just kept charging forward. And then he gets knocked out and then immediately starts saying he makes an excuse. I got poked in my eye like 4 times and all this shit. I don't know how the fuck you remember getting poked in the eye 4 times when you were on fucking Queer Street, homeboy. I think one of those was a fist in your eye. But the point is, you lose and start making fucking excuses right away. Conor McGregor lost to Nate Diaz. He didn't make any excuses. You want to talk shit about Conor McGregor? He owned up. He said he took the fight. He had the option not to. He took the challenge. He took the risk, and it bit him in the ass. But guess how he responded? He wanted to fight again. Everybody wanted him to fight at 155. The UFC, even Nate Diaz, wanted to fight at 155. He said, fuck no. How does that make me look? I want to get this back. I want to get this loss back, and I want to win it in the exact same circumstances that I lost it. He didn't make up any fucking excuses. He gassed out. He didn't pace himself very well at all. He was carrying more weight than he was used to, but he didn't use any of those as excuses. All he said was he didn't pace himself, which is exactly what happened, and he gassed out, and he became a fucking punching bag, and Nate Diaz is a fucking monster, and Nate Diaz would smoke Floyd Mayweather too, especially in an MMA fight. So all you motherfuckers out there somehow holding Conor McGregor responsible for his homies' losses, just shut the fuck up. You guys are getting corny now. Way corny. But other than that, the Glasgow, was it Sweden? Fuck, man. I'm going to show how, Scotland. Scotland, motherfuckers. I'm horrible with geography, but Glasgow is in Scotland. It was a great event. A lot of no-namers on the card, but when you match people up really well, you get great events. That's what the UFC needs to focus on. They're trying to make everybody a Conor McGregor. They're trying to make everybody, not everybody, not, a lot of these dudes, they don't have personalities. You're not going to sell this thing and make your money back, your $4 billion back, by trying to make everybody some kind of shit-talking superstar. There's one of those. He owns that lane. Everybody else, just go out there and fight. And when you make good fights and good matchups like this, that's how it got this far in the first place. That's how it became worth $4 billion. That's how it came up from the underground, was from great fucking fights. From the first Ultimate Fighter season finale to the second one that Rashad Evans won to the Randy versus Tito Ortiz to the Couture's to all that shit. They were just all great fights. Chuck Liddell is one of the most well-known, recognizable fighters in the world, and he has the personality of a fucking peanut. He don't got shit to say, ever. He's boring as fuck. John Jones is a huge piece of shit, but everybody loves him. Not everybody, but a lot of people love him, and they at least want to see him fight, whether it's to see him get his ass kicked or just to see him continue to dominate people. You know, DJ, I talk a lot of shit about him, but he's a great fighter. I actually do like watching him fight. You just want to see good fights, and that's what the UFC is about. And, you know, when all these other camps like American Top Team and AKA and Winklejohn, those dudes, those gyms in Albuquerque, when fighters lose, you don't blame other fighters in that gym for their loss. That's fucking stupid. You're not fighting the fight for them. That's what makes this a great sport. You're in there, and it's just you. You're responsible solely for getting prepared and for performing on fight night. So all you other motherfuckers, shut the fuck up. Just shut the fuck up. We're basically at 55 minutes already. God damn it. I've been talking that long about fights. Shit. Man, I might just make this an all fight podcast and save all my other shit. I got mad shit over here. Let me talk briefly about this weekend's card. There's like two back-to-back cards. I'm going to save y'all... I'm going to save y'all the UFC 214 because that card is motherfucking stacked. And we're going to need to just talk about that in its entirety because, damn, Lawler versus Cerrone, Jones versus Cormier 2. There's some scraps on there. But this weekend is Chris Weidman versus Kelvin Gastelum on a fight night. Let's see what else is on here. Patrick Cummins versus Gian Vellante. That's a good one. Vellante's out of Chris Weidman's gym. Shit, that's a tough fight to pick, man. I'd love to see the odds on that. Do they give the odds here? I'm on UFC.com. Shit, I don't know who to take on that shit. Gian Vellante is a pretty good fight. I'm going to take, you know what? I'm going to take Cummins. They show Cummins. He's working with homeboy, a former boxer that's teaching them. He was in one of the Rocky movies, actually. How am I losing his name? Antonio Tarver. Antonio Tarver, that motherfucker. He was actually in Rocky 6, if you remember that shit, when Rocky comes out of retirement or some shit. I didn't actually watch the movie. But Antonio Tarver was a bad motherfucker. Antonio Tarver was pretty much responsible for ending one of, I think, one of the best boxers I've ever seen before. I'm forgetting all these fucking names. Roy Jones Jr., dude that used to put his hands behind his back and move like a fucking rooster and knock motherfuckers out. But that dude is one of the most naturally gifted boxers of all time. Quick, speed, all sorts of shit. Until he ran into the buzzsaw that was Antonio Tarver. And Antonio Tarver pretty much put that career on ice. But anyways, Antonio Tarver is now working with an MMA gym where Patrick Cummins trains out of. I want to say it's in Colorado. Don't check on this. But I know he's the boxing coach for an MMA gym where Patrick Cummins is training at. And they showed him on the countdown teaching Cummins how to throw punches with his body and shit. And, man, you can learn a lot, you know. You're not going to learn full-on striking, but you're definitely going to learn how to throw some hands. And that's basically all Cummins needs. He's not the super athletic dude. He wants to get the fight to the ground. So if he can learn some things, enough stuff from Antonio Tarver with his hands to work it, to be able to get his takedowns. You remember Patrick Cummins, a dude that became a late replacement on literally a couple days' notice to fight Cormier, and that's how he got into the UFC. He used to be he's kind of famous for working at a coffee shop, and his manager came through the drive-thru and told him that he was going to get a UFC contract to fight Daniel Cormier, and that's when he quit his job on the spot. So he's a cool dude, big dude. If he gets Vellante on the ground, which I have to assume he's going to do, I think he can win that fight. If it stays standing, damn, I think Vellante should take it. He's no slouch himself. He's training with Chris Weidman full-time, so that's going to be a good one. I'm going to tell you right now, the fight of the night, Jimmy Rivera versus Almeida. This shit right here. Thomas Almeida. He's a dope Muay Thai fighter. Jimmy Rivera, he beat... Damn, he hasn't fought in a long time. I think the last time I remember him fighting was he fought Uriah Faber. And he pretty much 3-0, 30-27, unanimous decision, Uriah Faber. This dude's one of the best up-and-comers at 100, I want to say, this is 135 pounds. Thomas Almeida, just a good, scrappy, good Brazilian fighter. So you know that he's going to be pretty well-versed on the ground. This should be a good fight. The only thing I don't like about Almeida is he doesn't have a whole lot of head movement, and he has a traditional Muay Thai stance where he's very rigid, very upright, very straightforward, straight lines. He needs to add a little bit of head movement. I think that's going to be his undoing because Jimmy Rivera is just a monster on his feet, and he can take it to the ground. But I think this is going to be your fight of the night. Definitely take Jimmy Rivera. Have to assume that he's going to be a heavy favorite. But that's going to be your fight of the night. Then you got Bermudez versus Elkins. Dennis Bermudez versus Darren Elkins. This is another good little matchup. Darren Elkins is very scrappy motherfucker. This is a 145-pound clash. Definitely take Dennis Bermudez on this shit, though. I think Bermudez, I remember, you might remember him getting knocked the fuck out versus who the fuck are you? What was that dude's name? Little Heathen, Jeremy Stevens. I had to look that shit up real quick. He got flying kneed after he was kind of dominating that fight. Dennis Bermudez is a fucking monster in his own fucking right. So that's another good fight on that card. And then the main event, Chris Weidman versus Kelvin Gastelum. Chris Weidman is on a 3-fight losing streak. Most recently lost to Musasi. Good news for him. Musasi left to go to Bellator. So I'm sure he wanted to act like he wanted that rematch. But, homie, you played yourself the last time, Weidman. I saw the true colors of Chris Weidman trying to fake like he was a knee to oblivion when one of them was a legal strike, and then he acted like he was hurt and couldn't continue, and then they found out that the refs, it turned into a clusterfucks, and the refs said it was legal, so then he was going to be TKO'd, and then he pops up magically and says, no, I'm fine, I can go, but then they're like, nah, homie, you already told the doctors you couldn't, and then Weidman loses, and I think it's still held up as a loss for him. Chris Weidman, you're going to lose your 4th straight. Kelvin Gastelum, this is interesting. Kelvin Gastelum isn't ranked at 185, even though he's won, I think, 2 fights at 185 pounds. I know he was scheduled to fight Anderson Silva back in the day, and that fight fell through. Let's see. Who do we got? Kelvin Gastelum. Upcoming, Vitor Belfort. He actually beat Vitor Belfort, but if you remember, I think he tested positive for Bud, so they took that one away from him. And then he beat the breaks off of Tim Kennedy and Johnny Hendricks at 185 pounds. So this is his 4th fight at 185 pounds. He beat Johnny Hendricks, Tim Kennedy, and Vitor Belfort. I don't give a fuck about your no contest. And he's still not ranked at 185 pounds. That's fucking crazy. But Kelvin Gastelum, he's got to be an underdog just for that reason that he's not ranked at all. And Chris Weidman is still number 5 somehow after losing 3 in a row. Put your money on Kelvin Gastelum. I'm telling you, a future fight to keep your eyes on is when our boy, our newly crowned champion of the 185-pound, the interim champion, that is, Robert Whittaker. Robert Whittaker versus Kelvin Gastelum. Who would have thought that? So once Whittaker unifies the belts and beats the brakes off of Michael Bisping, somewhere down the line, I think he's going to meet up with Kelvin Gastelum. And that's going to be one of those fights and be like, how the fuck did we get here? How did this end up happening? But so that's a good card. We'll save UFC 214. I got mad shit to talk. Robert Kardashian, I still haven't forgot about you, motherfucker. If my homies come through, there's still a slight possibility that chonies might come through later tonight. We'll get on that ass. If not, I'll probably do another podcast maybe towards the end of the week. It'll be no fight talk at all. This will just be a dedicated fight talk podcast right here. I had to go in on that Floyd Mayweather shit. I had to go at that Buster Baby, Colin Cowherd. Had to roast his ass real quick on the podcast, put it on wax, go at him, toe-to-toe. That's a 10-7 round for your boy Gecko, a.k.a. Moody Hank. So we'll come back at some point this week. We'll do 2 this week. I got mad funny-ass topics that I wanted to touch on. And I still promise y'all I was going to get in Robert Kardashian's ass. No Bruno. Shout out to my man Michael Rappaport. But I'll close this shit out. Hope y'all enjoy the fight fucking talk. We'll be back soon. Maybe tonight. If not tonight, later in the week. I'm Seth Gecko, a.k.a. Moody Hank, and I'm out. I walk through the valley of the shadow of my life. I walk through the alley back in Cali where the night's bright. Stuck with a 9-5, fuck when the time's right. Homie, get your limelight, go and get you 5 mics. Spit infectious to them, better left in ruins. Better check the fluids, losing vital signs. Who's to pull the plug and get them moving? Cruising mood is set, now choose the music we gon' ride to. You and I knew. Day that be controlling by, shaking bass for bucking rhymes. Playing safe, I crossed the line and never be the same again. Shame, I think what could've been. Days I wasted, could've spent. Raising stakes, I could've been. And placing to my chest, my destiny was fucking fake. With grace, some fucking bitches dimed out. Quarter tank of gas and a dollar needs a fucking change. Overstep what's understood, nothing stays the fucking same. No way, never going back. So we sever closing past rooms, bumping cash rules. Everything I'm not about. Take the bets or walk it out now. Showing out how. Do you think I got to
this for. Embrace the day, watch tomorrow, leave with not a fucking word. Must have seen me, got the nerve to live like I don't see another. Dreams my mother got her turn to see me under lights and wonder why it took me so long to believe in me like she did. Wanna be, then be it. Or float the stream like Phoenix. You don't believe, won't be shit. Looking through the rear view, I can see the real you. Scared, but you gon' rise someday. If you think that I won't look you where eyes don't blink, or don't you look away. Looking through the rear view, I can see the real you. Scared, but you gon' fly someday. If you think that I won't look you where eyes don't blink, or don't you look away. As I walk through the valley of the shadow of my life, I walk through the gallows in the shallow where my mind lies. Truth is, I might rise, too sick, I might die. Baby, on my night life, save me, I'ma try my. After I went all in, dozen lungs, I crawl in. Out the back, we ball in with the top rope back. Thugs go clack, tatter at Joe. Snap back at not so fast, I had body slow back. Seen that it seems as if B-Rabbit is gonna choke, but he had tricks up sleeves that hit the time he's gonna blow. Funny these money trees, I'm underneath, I always autumn. Often not a dollar on, I'm falling down all around. There's nothing, something's gotta give, and that's just how I feel. Like that's a bitch, but life's the hoe that fucks you every chance she gets. Luck to you, she's the last to bed. I have a breath that's like this left. The passage yet to creep up on you while you're sitting at the light. Flash the bright to last tonight, your shit's about to go down. You bitch, I bet there's no round. The bush to beat, there's no sound. The push you need to know now. The time you waited all your life, it's all on sight, just wake up. For the sake of God, they made love. The way you lie, but they trust. Today you die, you'll stay up above the head, so they duck. What you say, I say fuck. All the times I never tried, not the ones I failed. All the times I fell in line, not the ones I bailed. As I walk through the valley, I don't. As I walk through the valley, I don't. As I walk through the valley, I don't give a fuck. I ain't living up, I ain't giving up, I don't give a fuck. As I walk through the valley, not a shadow's left. As I walk through the valley, not a shadow's left. As I walk through the valley, not a shadow's left. It's still my shine, still my rhymes, my guiding light. I'm walking through and stride tonight. Looking through the rear view, I can see the real you. Scared, but you gon' rise someday. If you think that I won't look you in the eyes, don't blink or don't you look away. Looking through the rear view, I can see the real you. Scared, but you gon' fly someday. If you think that I won't look you in the eyes, don't blink or don't you look away.